A warm welcome to Hearers of the Word for Sunday 4 in Year A. Our Gospel is the Beatitudes in Matthew. We start with thought for the day. Who doesn't want to be happy? As St. Augustine writes, all persons want to be happy, and no persons are happy who do not have what they want. Augustine knows that it is not so simple. Having what, and how do we keep it so that we don't lose it? The question really becomes, what do I desire? In the final analysis, there is a hunger of the human heart for God, often recognized only slowly, and a hunger for goodness and virtue, also a slow conversion. In God we find a source of happiness which nothing can take away. In virtuous living, chiefly seeking the good of others, we come to our true fulfilment and contentment. Prayer. God, our true happiness, help us to recognize our need of you, that we may be blessed in your kingdom. Amen. So we listen to Matthew 5:1-12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Initial observations. Number one, there are many Beatitudes in the New Testament. The first is in Matthew chapter 5, and the last is in Revelation 22:14. Happiness is offered from beginning to end. The Beatitudes in Matthew, invitation texts, are to be interpreted within the Sermon on the Mount and alongside the corresponding narrative section, chapters 8 and 9. Matthew leaves out the corresponding woes of Luke, but of course he has his own dire warnings. Kind of writing. In rhetorical terms, this text is an introduction designed to get the attention, goodwill, and docility or receptivity of the hearers. It achieves these aims, A, by awakening a desire for happiness, B, by naming the present situation, and C, by proposing attitudes and actions that lead to happiness and final salvation. Number two, Matthew's Beatitudes are chiefly apocalyptic, promising reversal. They thus reveal a difficult situation in his community, perhaps a result of the probably recent break with the mother faith of Judaism. Number three. Here in Matthew's Gospel, there are 9 Beatitudes in a significant order. 1-4, passive attitudes. 5-8, active attitudes, with 8 as a bridge to 9. And 9, a beatitude on conversion. Beatitude 9 is from Matthew's own source, or perhaps his pen. We may compare with 1 Peter 3 14 to 15, where we read, "But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defence to anyone who demands from you an accounting of the hope that is in you." Old Testament background. There are many blessing sayings in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms. In fact, the Psalter opens with one such happy saying. In general, the sayings occur in two settings: A, in the wisdom literature, and B, in the apocalyptic literature. The wisdom beatitude is a desire for practical advice which will lead to a peaceful life. The apocalyptic beatitude encourages endurance until God acts and reverses the present calamity. New Testament foreground. Number one. The Sermon on the Mount is the first of five great discourses in Matthew's Gospel. It is sometimes given the title Blessings Entering the Kingdom, and could be read in light of the fifth discourse, 23-25, Woes, the Coming of the Kingdom at the End. Number two. Within the overall pattern, the Sermon on the Mount on the plain in Luke has several possible outlines, and one is given on the printed sheet. This leads us to see that the opening Beatitudes may be helpfully read in conjunction with the corresponding exhortation in 7:13-27. Number three. The Beatitudes are found also in Luke 6:20-26, where four Beatitudes are matched by four corresponding woes. It is possible to compare both traditions to see if there is a more original form behind the text we now have in our hands. It is probable that the Q saying, the saying source Beatitudes, originally read as follows: "Blessed are the poor, for of them is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the mourners, for they shall be consoled. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be satisfied." With that in mind, we can notice the editorial changes and additions in Matthew 5, which reveal his own theology and reception of the Beatitudes. St. Paul. We read in Philippians 4:4-7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we come to our brief commentary, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying. The motivation for the Beatitudes is the compassion of Jesus as he looks on the crowds, even though the Beatitudes are often offered to the disciples only. The motivation for the Beatitudes is the compassion of Jesus as he looks on the crowds, even though the Beatitudes are offered to the disciples only. In Matthew, the location is more symbolism than geography. Moses went up the mountain of God and brought back the Ten Commandments, and thus, rather than looking for a mount of the Beatitudes, however inspiring, it is the Moses symbolism which bears most meaning. Like Moses, Jesus sits, that is, he takes up his role as authoritative teacher. Although inspired by the crowds, the message is delivered to the disciples only who come to Jesus. Verse 2. And he began to speak and taught them, saying. This is a solemn opening intended to create anticipation and interest. It goes literally, he opened his mouth and was teaching them, saying. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew has spiritualized this beatitude somewhat. Certainly for the Lucan community, poor meant without money, as in the Acts. In the Old Testament, the poor in spirit are the pious who enjoy God's special care. And a good interpretation of Matthew's version was proposed in the original New English Bible. Happy are those who know their need of God. The Revised English Bible reverted to the more traditional translation. Matthew speaks of the kingdom of heaven so as to avoid naming God, thus respecting Jewish tradition. Notice the present tense, meaning now. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. To mourn is a signal of suffering in the Old Testament, where the kings insist on joy when grief is appropriate. This is the first of the reversals, capturing the apocalyptic flavour of the teaching. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Linguistically, both poor and meek go back to the Anoim Yahweh, the poor of Yahweh, of the Hebrew Bible. The meaning is substantially the same as in verse 3, conveying another reversal. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew has added, and thirst for righteousness. Writing for a mixed community from Gentile and Jewish backgrounds, he is especially interested in justification / righteousness before God. Hunger is used in relation to the poor fairly frequently in the Old Testament, Isaiah 32, 58, Ezekiel 18, and so on. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This is to be compared with Matthew 7:2 and perhaps with 6:14. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Matthew 7:2. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The sentiment is also found in Psalm 71, verse 3. The Greek has sons here, but clearly sons and daughters are intended, and so children is faithful to the original. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peace is a gift of the proclamation, according to Matthew 10:13. But see for contrast Matthew 10:32. Matthew has in mind shalom, pointing to a rich range of meanings such as physical well-being, good relationships, fertility, and so forth. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Outside of the sermon we read, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Matthew 10:23. Compare also 23:34. There was no persecution of disciples during the ministry of Jesus, so we are hearing the concerns and issues of the time of the later church. Verse 11. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. While not so evident in the Sermon on the Mount, the relationship between the Lord is explored later in the Gospel. Compare, for example, Matthew 10:18 and 39, 16:25, 19, 15 and 29. Verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Compare Luke 6:26. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Pointers for prayer. The blessings in the Beatitudes are primarily future blessings, but there can be an anticipation of the blessings in the present. At first reading, some Beatitudes may seem to describe circumstances that you would like to avoid at all costs. Read them slowly, staying with each one for a while. Let yourself get a sense of the paradox involved in each one. Perhaps you have an experience of a deeper and more authentic life, a blessing when, number one, you were poor and you knew your need of God. Number two, you mourned and could feel for others. Number three, you were meek, not emotionally out of control. Number four, you hunger and thirsted for some cause. Number five, you are merciful rather than vengeful. Number six, you were pure in heart, a person of integrity whose actions and intentions correspond. Number seven, you were a peacemaker. Or number eight, you were persecuted because you stood for something. Prayer. O God, teach us the hidden wisdom of the gospel so that we may hunger and thirst for holiness, work tirelessly for peace, and be counted among those who seek first the blessedness of your kingdom. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this audio version of the Gospel Notes.